Blog Talk Radio.
When you've been fused in misery and scorn before you arrive, and all the while there's trouble and trial that's bearing you down, and all you see is suffering and strife, there's really no doubt that spicy is right. I'm telling you indeed, some sugar's what you need to sweeten your life. In all the world of struggle and woe and ending in pain, just one thing I really do know, that you'll understand. When you're in pain and all of despair, it never seems soft, it never is fair. We want you to love, so she will be there to sweeten your life.
Wesley Gray speaking to you live from Brooklyn, New York. This is Sunday, August 13th of 2017. And I again like to welcome you, and I thank you for taking your time out this Sunday evening to share your energy with us. We have an exciting show this evening with a special guest, a brother who I've known for a few years. Matter of fact, we have traveled in circles musically for many a year, not knowing each other, until we found that indeed that we had common interests. And I was just so delighted to find out that he was proactive in the community and various aspects, which he will explain to you later. And I'm excited about the fact that he just released the CD, which is really getting raving reviews. And that's one of the main reasons why we're here, for you to actually have the pleasure of listening to his velvet voice, and how he indeed is able to capture the attention of those who hear his music, both intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually. His name is Steve Cromarty, and Steve is someone who has a background that is pretty eclectic. Steve is a jazz vocalist who delivers a smooth and melodic phrasing of songs, and one who also cares about the message and the lyrics that he sings. He exudes wisdom and understanding, and that is a big thing with Steve. Although he has been practicing his craft for over 10 years, prior to music's calling, he has accomplished a successful career in the public sector, and during those years, the necessity of working well with people was paramount and an art that he still applies in his endeavors. In addition, Steve holds spiritual values that underpin his positive approach to life and his desire to lift others through beautiful, meaningful songs and melodies. Steve is an original New Yorker, born in Bedford-Stuyvesant, Brooklyn, where he grew up, and his parents' apartment was on the first floor above the tavern Jack's Bar and Grill. And from his earliest recollections, he remembers hearing Coltrane, Miles, and Nina Simone in those years there, where jukeboxes had the latest jazz releases on them. It was too early for him to know who they were at that time, but those sounds seeped into his soul forever. And later, he played drums in junior high and high school, and his musical appreciation and musical knowledge was that much more established. Now, some years passed with no musical involvement, and he had a family to raise. And then he heard Eddie Jefferson, the godfather of vocalese, and he was smitten with what Eddie was doing. And that was the seed that blossomed into where Steve is today. He's a seasoned, textured, and matured vocalist, and his family bloomed as well. And after Eddie, his other influences were Oscar Brown Jr., Johnny Hartman, and Billy Eckstein. So at this point, without any further ado, I'd like to welcome Steve to our show. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you, Wesley, very, very much. And very good to be with you and be part of this project of yours.
Well, thank you so much. And I see you have your lovely wife with us. Would you introduce us to the introduce her to the listening audience?
Letty Cromedy.
Yes, indeed. And I have my beautiful wife with us, Dr. Dora Gray. And it's really a pleasure to have all four of us together on this nice summer Sunday evening. I know that there's a lot that you have to share with us, and I'd like you to tell the audience a little bit about how you got started as a jazz singer.
Well, as you mentioned, Jack's Bar and Grill, which I grew up over, that music just seeped through the floors. So at my earliest remembrance, I'm hearing this music, and it just stayed with me, affected me, and it's in my bones.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to find outlets to share, to participate in it. And so in junior high school, like you said, I played drums and in high school. But nothing happened after that because I wasn't encouraged musically. But again, you pretty much put it in context. When I heard Eddie Jefferson, I mean, I have been listening to jazz the whole time. I've always been an aficionado. But when I heard Eddie Jefferson, I knew that that's what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Still, with a family, a young family, I wasn't going to be a starving artist.
Right.
So I got out, just for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, no, I'm not going to go take that route. And so I went back to school, got my master's and stuff like that from NYU,
mm-hmm.
and pursued a career in the public sector. So many, actually decades passed. There was a description of my situation by a brother named, it'll come to me. He said, delayed but not denied.
Ah, yes, yes.
And indeed, that became my story. So I was having a birthday party, and I invited someone, Enos Payne, who's passed on.
Uh-huh.
He came to play. But before he came to play, my piano hadn't been played by my son in years, so a piano tuner came. His name was Paul, and he came and started playing something. And I started playing, singing a song that he was playing. I didn't even know the whole song because I didn't have a whole song at that time. This is 16 years ago or whatever. And he invited me to come out to his jam sessions out in Valley Stream. And so I started going every Monday, and I built my voice up over 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't even the public voice. That was just the beginning. That's the rudimentary aspect of preparation.
Absolutely.
But then that was before getting, out on stage in front of audiences, small and large. But anyway, things happened quick after that because my nephew, Eric Wyatt, I had told him one day, I said, it sounds like it's good as some of these people on WBGO, I thought.
Yes.
And the next day, this was, this was 2004. The next day he had Rodney Kendrick and several other brothers, I can't think of the name right now at the moment, prepared, and we made a CD. That was my first CD, and that was called Stepping Out.
Ah.
And we went from there.
Awesome. Well, the song that I just played at the beginning of the show, Sugar, which I think was written by Stanley Turner.
Yes.
Yeah, that's really a song that strikes me, very closely, because one of my favorites going back, I don't know when I came out, that was in the 80s, I believe,
mm-hmm.
The early 90s.
Right.
And I was so happy that you had that on your project. And you sang it just like you say, any of the old crooners that have been renowned and known, and you have your own voice,
mm-hmm.
which I appreciate, because a lot of singers and musicians try to emulate and sound like those masters that came before them. Did you have any problem with developing your own voice?
Well, I put it to you this way. It was said to me that all musicians, or all vocalists, and because this was the vocalist who said it, said that we're all thieves.
Ah.
So we steal from each other. However,
like poets.
Yeah. However, what you do is that you lend other ways of the, you know, presenting your voice or whatever, and you incorporate it,
mm-hmm.
and you try and ultimately, you know, that voice be that comes out with all that you've taken in, the voice becomes yours.
Yes. Yes.
You
well,
know,
that's awesome.
But then anybody that has any integrity wants to sound like himself or herself.
Right. Right. And I think that right now we have, especially in the male department, not that many male singers in the jazz genre who are actually making any new innovative inroads in terms of you know, what type of projects they produce, the songs they select. I mean, we have a mutual friend. What's his name? Gregory Porter.
Yes.
Who has walked past my house when I first met him.
Uh-huh.
And I was tending to some flowers in our front yard.
Right.
And he happened to stop by and he said, "Hey, this looks great," you know. And
yeah.
I said, "Thank you," and not knowing who he was.
Yes.
You
yeah.
know, and very personable.
Yeah.
Unassuming, very humble
uh-huh.
Spirit. And before I knew it, he was receiving a Grammy Award, you know. And it just tells me that indeed, you never know what awaits you in terms of your talent and so forth. And I like your disposition. You're a very humble, loving, caring individual. I must say that, you know, since I've met you from day one, you wasn't pompous and you know, any type of airs. And I think that's one of the keys in this life in terms of being successful, in terms of longevity. One can be successful, but you won't last but so long once people find where you're coming from in terms of being a diva or someone who has an inflated ego. So I appreciate it.
Yeah, let me just step back for a second. I want to attribute to that comment about stealing to Grady Tate.
Oh, okay.
One of the great vocalists and,
yes.
and great drummers
yes,
of
yes.
all time.
Absolutely.
And he told me that, you know, one day we were talking, you know, out on the circuit.
Yeah.
And, but in terms of humility, I mean, there's no reason to be, for me, to be with nobody but myself. And,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not, you know, that's all I'm it's trying to be and the best person I can be.
Absolutely.
But love is the only thing, well, I can't say I'm always loving, but I try to incorporate the love that God gives
mm-hmm.
In myself
mm-hmm.
And then whatever else, you know, my imperfections won't be as bad as they could be.
Absolutely, because you brought him into the fold.
Right. Right.
Yes, I love that. So this new CD that you released is titled All My Tomorrows. And you have quite a few cats on board with you who really compliment you very well. Did you play with them previously, or was the day?
Yeah, we played. We played off and on, and I was at Two Steps Down for many years.
Yeah.
And Marcus Persiani.
Yeah, Fort Greene, Clinton Hill.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
on Vanderbilt
Avenue.
DeKalb Avenue, rather, mm-hmm. and Vanderbilt.
Yeah.
Yeah, for many years, maybe 6-7 years, I guess. And so Marcus Persiani, who's on piano,
mm-hmm.
and Eric.
Eric White?
No.
Lemon.
Eric Lemon.
Oh, yeah.
Was also with me. And
mm-hmm.
we had different drummers. I've always tried to keep a group that was familiar as long as I could in having the work to do. I mean, because these guys, you know, they've got to play all the time because they're professional musicians.
Yes.
I can afford to not have a gig every night or every week.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I like to have a little you know, rest in between, a little respite, you know, and then develop perhaps a new project or
the shed.
Woodshed and more songs, you know, that describe what needs to be described at a certain period of time. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good that you're able to actually have that space, because
yeah.
there's quite a few musicians out there, the so-called the starving artists,
yeah.
and they suffer. And I have a mutual friend of ours who we have been debating as of late, and he wonders why people are not coming to the clubs as frequently as they used to. And I tried to, I learned this expression recently, 40-40-40, meaning that you work 40 hours a day and for 40 years, and you get, 40 hours a week for 40 years, and you retire on 40% of your gross pay,
mm-hmm.
where you couldn't even afford to live off 100%.
Mm-hmm.
So, especially those of us, me being 73 years of age,
mm-hmm.
And I know that most of our peers are somewhere,
right.
give or take five minus or plus,
right.
in that same range, and we're retired, that we cannot afford, we don't have the discretionary income,
mm-hmm.
you know, to spend $50 to $150 or more to go to a club date,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And because the clubs are not keeping up with inflation,
mm-hmm.
in terms of what they're paying the musicians, and in some cases they leave it to the musician to supply the audience, to draw people through the door, and they give them a cut of the door. And it's just very asinine policies which are not for the benefit of the artists. And something has to be done about that. And then, of course, we have the other piece in terms of health. We cannot afford to be staying up late like we used to.
Right.
You know, we cannot afford to be getting drunk
mm-hmm.
and imbibing and
mm-hmm.
et cetera, not eating
mm-hmm.
the right types of food and diet. So there's a lot to say about what's going on, and I think your route in terms of producing your own CD is one of the things to do, because the young performers, especially in the hip-hop and rap community, they're independently produced, and they have a following,
mm-hmm.
and they know how to market. So I think that's something that we could perhaps, as elders, learn how to emulate in terms of, you know.
Well, it's an expensive undertaking to produce a good CD.
Yes.
Because there's essential steps involved with the marketing, with the presentation of the thing, to produce it, having mm-hmm. the right musicians. I'm very proud of this, and thank God, because it did come out exactly as I wanted it to be, because this is my document. This
Absolutely.
Is where I stand now. This is where I've come to,
mm-hmm.
and fortunately, it works for me.
Uh-huh.
So I'm if I could play it, because you know I'm my worst critic, you know, and we play it and we like it, you know. So
yes.
I'm proud to be able to give it to other people. So and it's real jazz. It's not you know, flavored. You know, it stands on the show. Yes, it stands on the shows of our forebears of Coltrane and Miles and people of that nature. Now, of course, they were instrumentalists, but
mm-hmm.
but all of that goes, those parts of the ingredients and you know, the people that you mentioned before,
yeah.
Eddie Jefferson, all of them don't sound like
Oscar
Eddie
Brown
Jefferson,
Jr.
Oscar Brown, all those people, all of those are in
great.
Ingrained in my.
Awesome.
My thoughts.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to take a short break right now.
Okay.
And when we come back on, I'd like you to share your experience with Oscar Brown Jr.
Okay.
I think that would be an excellent way to start off.
Today I might not have a thing at all, except a dream or two. But I've got lots of plans for tomorrow, and all my tomorrows belong to you. Right now may not seem like spring at all. We're drifting and the laughs are few. But I've got rainbows planned for tomorrow, and all my tomorrows belong to you. No one knows better than I that luck keeps passing me by. That's fate. But with you there at my side, I'll soon be turning the tide. Just wait. As long as I have arms at all, it's you I'll be clinging to. And all the dreams I dream, beg or borrow on some bright tomorrow, will all come true. And all my bright tomorrows belong to you.
Wonderful. That's such a beautiful melody.
Beautiful.
Yeah, really a beautiful ballad. Yeah. How did you come up? That's All My Tomorrows, right?
Yeah,
this is the title of your CD?
The title of the CD,
yeah.
Yes. Well, as you know, we're in the fourth quarter.
Uh-huh.
You know, I used to say I'm in the second half. Of, you're 73, I'm 71.
Yeah.
But every day is a blessing. And,
absolutely.
You know, the Lord has given us an opportunity to still create and
mm-hmm.
still live and share.
Yes.
So all my tomorrows is what it's all about. And,
awesome.
You know.
Awesome. Well, I think that a lot of us can appreciate that. I'd like, before I go any further, could you share with the listening audience how they can contact you, your website, and number that they can call in terms of bookings and et cetera?
Yeah, I just want to say that Craig Haynes used to play with us a lot.
Craig?
Years, yeah.
Okay.
The son of the great
Roy
Haynes.
Yes.
Yeah, my contact information is either my, you know, for gigs at Columbia, my cell phone, 917-685-3508. My website is www.stevecromity.com.
You stole me your last name?
CROMITY.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or my email, and that would be scromity, SR for senior,
mm-hmm.
at gmail.com.
Wonderful. And while we're dealing with contact information, my website is drumsofchange.com. That's drumsofchange.com. And at my website, I have a portal where you can purchase African drums and other instruments, as well as books that I have, which relate to shows that I've had in the previous times. I've had over 92 shows, so this show included can be accessed on our archive. So I just want you, those of you who are listening, to share our show with your friends and associates and family members so that indeed we can enhance our community. So without any further ado, let's talk more about this CD release and also how is it going in terms of being received.
Well, people are not buying CDs now very much.
Uh-huh.
It was actually born on, well, it came out on the market on January of 2015.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got some really great reviews from it, you know, nationally and internationally. And there's still more to be obtained from this work. I'm not in a rush of making another CD right now because I'm still enjoying this one, and it has gotten a wide circuitry, you know, because I have to do most of the stuff myself because I don't have a manager,
mm-hmm.
I promote to the extent that I promote, and that leaves a lot to be desired at times.
Yes.
You know, because the two things is, as a performer, you either have somebody to do these things for you, or
absolutely,
you have to do it yourself.
Yes.
And while you have to do your own promoting, you're losing time on you know, the musical development,
mm-hmm,
you know, really digging into a song or playing with the piano,
mm-hmm,
and developing a song. So, but that's the nature of the beast. You have to do both. And
right,
if you're in it, this is what you do.
Absolutely.
And you don't cry about it, because that's the way it goes.
Mm-hmm. Everyone has had to pay those
dues. But it is, yeah, exactly. But it would be lonesome a little bit if you looked at it that way, because there's a lot of things you could otherwise be doing that you won't be doing, that you see your friends doing, you know, hanging out and just having nothing to do and talking about nothing necessarily. But you've got to be serious about what you're doing,
mm-hmm,
to make the results come out the way you want it to be,
mm-hmm,
especially when you're performing.
Absolutely.
When you get up on the stage and when you're in front of people, you want to deliver perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nothing's ever perfect, but that's your goal.
To the best of your ability.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a lot to be said. I mentioned Oscar Brown Jr. before we went into break, and he had something to say. I have here a review of your recording by Cadence Magazine and Rob Crocker from WBGO, and indeed also Oscar Brown Jr. Share with the listening audience about what Oscar had to say about your voice.
Well, Oscar first said, as I recall, said it is right, straight ahead. He said it's authentic. He said that you need to develop your breathing more.
Mm-hmm.
This is some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And because 80% of singing is breathing.
Yes.
And so it just made me that much more conscious of the technique of breathing, and you know, and it's something that you have to do every day if you can,
mm-hmm,
to develop your lungs and so that you can have the breath of a voice that you need. So that was his recommendation at that time. But Oscar Brown was such a heartfelt musician to me. I love the guy. You know, he's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, composers, along with Horace Silver.
Yeah,
my favorite song. My favorite song is Janine.
Oh yes, yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
And that's on the CD, and that,
mm-hmm,
that's written. The music was by Dick Pearson.
Yeah, Janine. I think I might play that when we take our next break, so the listening audience can get a sampling of most of your CD, most of your release.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you had the pleasure of meeting Oscar Brown Jr., Grady Tate, right, who
mm-hmm,
also made leaps and bounds in terms of him not only being a drummer,
mm-hmm,
but being a widely acclaimed singer.
Right.
Another person, George Benson,
mm-hmm,
did the same thing. He was known for being a guitarist,
right,
jazz guitarist,
right,
you know, top shelf.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turned around and started singing and became very more renowned as a singer,
mm-hmm,
than as a guitarist.
Right.
I've had here Stanley Banks has been
oh, yeah,
in our home, and we did a show with him.
Okay.
And that was around the same week that Al Jarreau passed away.
Oh, okay.
And he was sharing with us how Al was very sick for a long period of time,
mm,
a couple of years.
Oh.
And as you know, Stanley, he's a vegetarian.
Yeah.
And a health enthusiast, and has been sharing with us throughout the jazz community,
right,
the importance of taking care, being healthy, and having,
mm-hmm,
a healthy lifestyle,
right,
as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sort of like almost an oxymoron of being healthy, but spending nights in clubs and where there's drinking and clicking of glasses and slapping on the back and staying up late, not
yeah,
getting sufficient sleep.
Yeah.
You know, you can only do that but so long.
Mm-hmm.
And as my wife likes to share with,
mm-hmm,
me, Dora says, you know, it's a sign of insanity when you keep doing the same thing,
yeah,
expecting different results.
Yeah.
So I was so happy to know that you are a family man and that you do take care of your health and that you have a spiritual home, which you're pretty very proactive in. And I would be remiss if I didn't bring up the fact that indeed For the last couple of days, we've had things happening here in the United States, which I think is something that we need to address. It has been, going back thousands of years, in the villages in Africa, those that were progressive and held on to their ritual, that the musician was designated as the healer, the one who actually conveyed health practices, and also provided music that was healing. And somehow along the line, since our ancestors were brought to this country some 400-plus years ago, that has been turned around 180 degrees,
right,
if not more, where we might provide healing balm, you know, for the soul, if you will, through jazz and other musical idioms, but we wind up becoming, in some cases, more of a detriment to our community in terms of our health practices. And I think that what's happening now with number 45 in AUKUS and with those people who are embracing his particular dogma and his posture with regard to minorities and women and so-called immigrants and so forth, that indeed we have an opportunity to truly be able to convey to our community a music that is truly healing. And I like what you said about All My Tomorrows, the fact that we're in our fourth quarter, you and I in terms of our age. But as elders, I think it's upon us. I'm involved with a group that has an international base throughout the African diaspora, where they have established what they call the Council of Elders. And I think that one of the things that I admire, such as Louis Armstrong, who recently had a birthday, he was an elder that really was an activist. You know, he was actually an ambassador, if I recall. And their other, Horace Silver, was an elder who was an activist in terms of health. I think he was a vegetarian.
United States of Mind. His CD, United States of Mind.
I'm not familiar with that one.
Oh, I have to share that with you. He talks about, I had a little talk with my stomach, and I decided to keep him straight. We've had a mutual agreement, and we won't da-da-da-da-da. He talks about his limbs and good eating and all this kind of thing. I'll have to share it. That came out in the 70s or mid-70s. And, you know, it's all about health and the wealth of health, you know.
Absolutely. I think that that's something that perhaps we can have a dialogue about in the future. And those of us in our particular circle who are amenable to embracing that concept, that we could, before we pass on, that we can leave that as a legacy. I think that that's something that's waiting to happen, as it were, you know. So my wife and I both, we're vegetarians. I'm for, 28 years or so, 30 years. And we just became vegan. And she's been going on 9 years, I think.
About 10.
10? Okay. You know, we don't have to all become vegetarians or vegans, but we can be mindful, as you was mentioning, Letty, in terms of what we do with our body, what we consume. I know you mix up your work. Would you want to share with the listening audience what you do in terms of health? Just a brief of what you shared earlier.
Well, really and truly, I just know that you are what you eat.
Right.
And it's very important to be conscious about a healthy lifestyle so that it's not just said, it's practice, you know, with every move that you make and every thing that you ingest into your system, to be mindful of what you eat.
Absolutely.
Portions, very important. Again, vegetables, fruits, water, the things that hydrate your body so that you don't become inflamed. You know, and that's the goal, to live a healthy lifestyle and to, as you said, promote it by practice. And those around you, they understand, because you are what you choose, whether it's in public or in private. And then we have an 80-20 rule that you can't always, you know, stay on it totally because of social obligations. And you don't want to be a burden in a social circle. Sometimes you must cheat. 20%, 80%, you're on it.
Absolutely.
At least that's our goal.
Wonderful, wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. We're going to take another break. with that being said?
Before you break, I just want to mention that Emmanuel Harrell was one of our drummers as well.
Yes.
Back in at Two Steps Down. And he's the drummer of Greg Porter.
Oh, interesting. Ah, okay. I have to remember that. Emmanuel Howell.
Yeah, Harrell. Yes. Yep.
Well, just going back just from a couple of seconds, Two Steps Down, he had, what's his name, Slaughter? Ulysses Slaughter?
Ulysses Slaughter, yeah.
Brady, the sister, Carla Cook came through there.
That was actually before me, but
I go back during that period, and that's about 35 years ago, 30 years ago. So we're going to be back in a couple of minutes. And I want to thank the listening audience for tuning in with us this evening. And those of you who are listening, if you'd like to share your thoughts with myself or Steve, please push the number 1 button, and that will indicate that you're raising your hand, and it would be a pleasure to have you share your thoughts with us.
My little boat is like a note bouncing merrily along. Here it's splashing up a song. The sails are white, the sky is bright, heading out into the blue with a crew of only 2, where we can share love's salty air on a paradise that's afloat. Not a care have we on my little boat. The wind is still, we feel the thrill of a voyage heaven bound, though we only drift around. Warmed by the sun, 2 hearts are 1, beating in enchanted bliss, melting in each other's kiss. When daylight ends and slyly sends little stars to twinkle brightly above, it's goodbye to my little boat of love.
Patience Higgins' flute on that.
Oh, Patience Higgins? Yeah. Okay. Yes. Did he play alto or tenor?
He's a tenor player, fundamentally, but he can play that flute too.
Oh, yes. He reminds me of James Spalding a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Being his
Spalding played was more of an altoist than a tenor or tenorist.
Well, a flute, not bad.
Oh, a flute. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, he played
He's on Freddie's, most of his major releases. I think Sugar was one. No, Tarantino had Sugar.
Uh-huh.
That was the title of his album. The Bossa Nova is something that I became enthralled with when I first heard it. Carlos Jobim, just the host. And even, Dora, she's a musician and plays about 5 instruments.
Oh, really?
Wow. And I used to be a music teacher. Matter of fact, she still is when you have the opportunity to teach, but not officially. But we've performed a couple of times, and on guitar, you got enamored with Bossa Nova. I think I had...
Violin,
yes, okay. Yes, she's played violin and guitar. And I think one of the things about it is that it's so relaxing. And I think that's another show in terms of how music affects us.
Mm-hmm.
Spiritually and psychologically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's been proven. I think I first read about it in Psychology Today from 35, 40 years ago, how there are certain communities, such as in the Japanese community, they play music through the unborn child, you know. And in a certain cadence, they found out that the meter and the cadence of music written by Beethoven, Bach,
right,
you know, that it soothes the child
and
assists in brain development.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I dare say that indeed from the African influence that music by Coltrane, Alice Coltrane, even from Brazil, such as Bossa Nova, can have a comparable effect. But anyway, without my digressing any further, share with us more about your journey.
Well, it's my passion. I in terms of music and singing, I have other things that I do. Of course, I'm a deacon in my church, First Baptist of Crown Heights on Eastern Parkway in Rogers, because I'm definitely faith-based.
Yes.
Now, you know that I was in a trade center before it...
yes, I'm happy you mentioned that.
It imploded. I was on the 73rd floor.
Because you worked at a company.
I worked for
a municipality.
Yeah,
of the city.
I worked for the Port Authority of New York, New Jersey, that's who I retired from.
Yes.
After 25 years, and I witnessed people after the 9/11. They just did not know up from down and down from up, because they were just so demoralized from what people went through in terms of seeing people, you know, flying out the windows and all the death that occurred. Now, you know, if you don't have an anchor when something like that happens, you really don't know, you know, how to deal with that kind of dramatic adversity. And that really cemented my spirituality then. I already had it because, you know, because my mother was a Baptist, and I guess we've become whoever our parents were, you know.
Yes, yes.
In a lot of respects, and it really doesn't matter as long as you believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you believe in a higher power that you know, you do your best and he does the rest, that kind of thing.
Absolutely.
You know, and so anyway, I just saw people just really be discombobulated. And I was okay. I won't say I was okay. It took me a year to get over it. Don't get me wrong, because the devastation was as deep as the tales reflect. But anyway, I was already deacon then, so I was cool. I didn't go off the handle and didn't need psychological sessions. Anyway, so that I got that, and I still do that, and I'm a member of Central Brooklyn Jazz Consortium. It's an organization that's been around, I'm going to say, 16 years, I believe. We have just had our 16th anniversary earlier in the summer, and it's all about keeping jazz alive, that was something that was developed by G2 Wyosi,
yes,
who you know is a giant.
Yes.
Still, even though he's passed to the ancestors,
yes.
Was a giant in our community.
Mm-hmm.
So very proud to be associated with that. And my other involvement was 100 Black Men organization. That's
with Yvonne, the founder. What's his name?
Well, that was founded by a police officer back in, I'm going to say, the 50s.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Because it occurred after sister who the police brutalized, you know, in terms of the handling. And this officer was high ranking. I think he was a captain at the time. And he brought together David Dinkins and people of that nature. And they developed the 100 Black Men. Because there's another 100 Black Men of police officers.
Yeah, that was the one that Eric Adams was part of.
Yeah. No, this is separate from that.
The other one. Okay. You know, the World Trade Center, I was about 30 blocks away from them when the buildings came down, and participated in an impromptu prayer circle, and it was quite an experience for me. I wasn't, of course, as traumatized as you were with being inside the buildings and trying to get out, but it did affect me, and of course, as you mentioned, my spiritual base allowed me
to be able to cope with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always been mindful of the fact that there are so many people who are now functioning or experiencing a functional post-traumatic nervous breakdown syndrome, if you will,
mm-hmm.
where they still were affected by that.
Mm-hmm.
And what's been happening as of late,
mm-hmm.
With the election that we just had,
mm-hmm.
And also for the last couple of days being traumatized with the far right,
mm-hmm.
That they're being more traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
And it just has exacerbated the trauma, as it were.
Yeah.
So music like yours is very much needed in terms of healing. Especially those the type of music that's dealing with higher self,
mm-hmm,
as opposed
mm-hmm.
to lower self.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to get deep into that, but we do have within every idiom and genre lower self oriented
yeah.
type of music.
Yeah.
So just wanted to get your thoughts in terms of that.
Well, first of all, there could be some parallel between the trauma that we just mentioned by 9/11 and the trauma that we're experiencing watching. That what took place yesterday in Virginia,
mm-hmm.
and it affects us all, and you know, to see the reoccurrence and rise of the Ku Klux Klan and the white supremacists, I mean, they just can't have enough privilege,
mm-hmm.
you know, their ancestors, our mothers and generations weren't slaves.
Right.
Who brutalized and prevented from reading, and you know, their ancestors taken away from them because on the slave block,
mm-hmm.
all the things that we our forefathers have gone through,
mm-hmm.
you know. But like the poet says, "And still we rise."
Yes, indeed.
You know,
yes,
so I'm going to keep a positive tone about that. I know that God has a
absolutely.
He's at work at this, you know,
yes.
and that keeps me going too. I mean, it saddens me to watch it. However, I flip that, you know, as soon as you know I start to think about it again, because you know God is at work,
mm-hmm.
and you know we're not in control of anything anyway.
Absolutely.
And so you know, let him do what he has to do.
Absolutely.
You know, but that does not mean that we should not be proactive,
mm-hmm.
and keep on top of things and be.
Well, I'm so happy to hear you say that, because I think a lot of people need to be encouraged to know that indeed God is the controller. And that our ancestors went through far more than what we're going through.
Right.
And they were able to pull through. And we just have to, I think, keep steadfast in knowing that we all individually have a role to play.
Yeah.
You know, that mm-hmm. We, as long as we're righteous with ourselves, love ourselves, try to exude and act on the best of our abilities, find our purpose,
right?
You know, and to be steadfast with
mm-hmm.
that, and then to seek others,
mm-hmm.
you know, people, places, and things,
mm-hmm.
to be around those people of kindred spirits and who are also looking forward to bettering the condition of our community without compromise.
Yeah.
You know, I think that that's something that's very important. Hun, would you like to share anything, any thoughts about that?
First, I'd like to say alafia to the audience. Thank you for tuning in with us this afternoon. And my thoughts basically are just keep your head to the sky.
Absolutely.
I can't emphasize that
mm-hmm.
so much in the writings that I do. I'm always talking about how something negative. I start with something negative, and then I like to elevate it.
Right.
At the end of something positive.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I can't emphasize, just keep your head to the sky.
Yes, yes. Thank you for sharing that.
I'd just like to add, you know, as Malcolm said, this is chickens coming home to roost.
I said that.
And so,
yes.
So this had to come to a head
yes.
when 45 was, you know, became the president.
Absolutely.
And he brought all this ilk with him, you know,
yes.
all this negativity. And so it has to run its course.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we have to be vigilant. We have to do everything we possibly can. We have to share information. and be on top of this until this tide, you know, it changes.
It's a cycle. I'm happy we used the word tide. Mao Zedong made a statement. I don't think it was in the Red Book, but, you know, he was a poet, like my wife is as well. And he says that revolutions are like tidal waves. Unless you put on the hat of an oceanographer, you are not cognizant of that. But the oceanographer knows that when you have a tidal wave, it comes to the shore and disrupts the elements of the shore, homes, grass, sand, whatever, and then it resides. And then it comes back again. You know, so in our lifetime, I didn't know the word tsunami. You know, 15 years ago.
Right. No.
But they use they shared the writer that I read this article on. He says that the fishermen knew that there was a tsunami coming.
Right.
And they
exactly
rowed back to shore.
Yeah.
Telling people and what have you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those that were very young did not take heed because they had no knowledge of that.
Right. Right.
So not to digress anymore, but I had to share that that anecdote with you. When you said the word wave, that indeed this is a wave, this is a cycle, and those of us who don't go to, who haven't been to war, and been into the horror of what war entails, we've had our own experience as people of African descent, and that energy is passed on from generation to generation, but it's I think it's nullified if you're not sober. If you're not in a sober state, which again gets into being in a state of prayer, eating the right foods, getting the proper rest, thinking the proper thoughts, you know, and then now you can tune in to that energy that you just shared.
Is this real quick? So this is cyclical. What we're going through now? Because after every period it seems for progress, that becomes a regression.
Yes.
You know, so we have to go through this regression and be ready for how it turns itself around and be, you know, have our ducks in a row at that point in time. But unfortunately, there's a lot of us who are not thinking about what's going on now, who same folk that said, well, it doesn't matter whether she gets in or he gets in. So when you have people that are that unaware of the difference, you know, it's a hard to turn things around. And then our young people also have to be, you know, lifted up, you know, because we need to really make them understand what they can expect if they're not prepared, you know, for this world, because they'll take us down in a minute.
Absolutely. I'm happy you touched upon that. And it, I mean, there's so more. I'd like to have you on the show again. Again, excuse me. So we can touch upon this area. With you being a grandfather, I think five?
Yes, yes. Right? That's one of my happiest subjects. Let me start real quick with my first of all, in my little family, my little core family, we believe that every generation should do as good or better.
Right.
And so my grandson got a 4-year academic scholarship to Penn State.
Oh, congratulations!
Yes,
congratulations.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and at least three of my granddaughters. I got four granddaughters and one grandson.
Uh-huh.
And at least two of them are honor students, or maybe a third is an honor student. And so I'm very proud of my sons who we couldn't have done better. And raising, and because you never know. I mean, you know, but you know, the bottom line is just being there.
Absolutely.
You know, and making sure that you ride out the waves with them, and then, and you know, they both got their masters, and they're okay.
Awesome.
Know, good. So, you know, I think I'm very happy.
And I also think of there are certain communities where they think of 1, 2, and 3 generations ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's not unique. That is an Afrocentric. Mindset, philosophy that we've lost.
Yeah.
So when I have
got to get something back, you know.
Got to get something back, and
you
got to prepare.
This earth, you know, succession planning, right?
Absolutely. So we have about 5 minutes left, and I almost forgot to have you share with the listening audience that you have a date coming up.
Oh yeah.
For a performance.
Thank you. Yes. As a matter of fact, I have two.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday at 7:00, I'll be at the Ron McNair Park, that's on Eastern Parkway in Washington, right across the street from Brooklyn Museum. Mm-hmm. That is something that there's a performance there every Thursday, not my own, but I'll be there this Thursday. But Richard Green
yes.
has put those performances on for a number of years now, mm-hmm. and so I'll be there Thursday. And then Sunday, I'll be at Milk River, 960 Atlantic Avenue between Washington and Grand, three blocks down from the Barclay Center, mm-hmm. and I'll have my all-star quartet with me, Richard Clemens on keyboard, Gene Gee on saxophone, Lonnie Plexico on bass, and Dwayne Cook Broadnecks on drums. And we get started at 6, and we're in 6 to 9. Mm-hmm. Milk River is a very nice place, one of the nicest places in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm.
I took you there.
We've been there, yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah.
How many sets are you doing?
Two sets okay. Of about 45 minutes of the piece.
Is there food being served?
Oh,
there?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they have wonderful food.
Great.
Oh, it's the cover is $10.
Okay, $10.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. So that's going to be at Moon River, right?
No, Milk River.
Milk River. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm thinking of the song Moon River. That was a Freudian slip there.
Did you want to play a little Janine Going Out?
Sure. Then why don't we do that? That'd be great.
My favorite song.
Okay.
There's no reason except for this. I like the words. I like the tempo because I like the swing. And and Oscar Brown Jr. is one of my, if not my favorite.
Yes, we're having a little technical
no problem
difficulty. So would Sugar be another?
We started out with that, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Come up. That's a great song.
Okay. So again, I'm your host, Robert Wesley Gray. Speaking to you live from Brooklyn, New York. It was indeed a pleasure to have you on board with us, listening and sharing your time this evening, those of you throughout the Triborough, Tri-State area and beyond. And Steve, I want to thank you so much for coming to our studio,
mm-hmm.
our home, and your wife, Letty. It was a pleasure to have you with us as well. And, of course, my beloved wife, Dora, thank you so much for assisting me and being part of this production and part of my life. Yes, so without any further ado, please stay tuned next week, same time, and we will have more to share with you regarding grassroots holistic health energy.
You've been fused in misery and scorn before you arrive. And all the while there's trouble and trial that's bearing you down. And all you see is suffering and strife. There's really no doubt that spicy is right. I'm telling you indeed, some sugar's what you need to sweeten your life. In all the world of struggle and woe and ending in pain, just one thing I really do know that you'll understand. When you're in pain and all of despair, it never seems soft, it never is fair. We want you to love, so she will be there to sweeten your life.